new statistic is that by the year 2025, I think, 50% of the people in the United States will be self-employed. So I think that adds a whole new perspective as to how you have got to have a plan in place, because you're not necessarily going to get some of the things you do through HR departments now. You really have to have your own agenda. You have to have your own professionals on board. You have to figure out what it is that you're going to be doing.
Podcasting from Wealthwave Studios in Johns Creek, Georgia, this is Leadership Now, the official vision and strategy podcast of Wealthwave.
What would you recommend when you've got clients, whether as a financial professional or as an attorney, a married couple where they're at different stages of health, physically and mentally, and one of them may be suffering from dementia or may have just gotten a diagnosis of Alzheimer's? What are some of the things that you can do? Because both parents are having issues, but one of them may be having more cognitive issues than the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's why the housing option of something like a CCRC, where there's all the different levels of care, because mom and dad probably are not going to become fragile at the same level at the same time. So this way, if one person is more independent and the other one needs more health care, they can all be in one setting. So that's one way to take care of the medical part. The other parts that you're talking about, dementia, that's why I said, boy, sooner than later, because you just never know what's going to happen cognitive. And when I did the PBS TV special, they always want 90 minutes at the end with just extra special stuff if you donate $250 or something like that. So I had the privilege of interviewing one of the top Alzheimer's physicians in the United States, both in research and care of patients. And I said to him, Dr. Cherie, if there was just one thing you wanted to get across to this audience today, what would it be? And he said it would be to get a good diagnosis when it comes to dementias. And he's so right from that standpoint. There's over 65 different kinds of dementias. Some of them actually have things that are either curative or can stop the progression. And there are some things that look like dementia that aren't at all, like dehydration or mourning or a UTI or B12 or drug interactions, all kinds of things that look like dementia but aren't and are very treatable and things that you can take care of. And if it turns out to be Alzheimer's, again, you kind of know how it's going to play out, and you know that, okay, we had better get our acting together. We had better get every document signed. We had better have every open discussion because we know how this is going to play out. And so I'm certain you, Ed, Kim, have had patients that really had waited so long they couldn't participate in the discussions.
Unfortunately, that's the case. We are, a lot of people are procrastinators, and I'm in that same club, and I put things off until the last minute. And when you're dealing with issues like this, when it's what the financial situation of your family is going to be, or what your health care is going to be, or where you're going to live, the sooner you make those decisions or come up with a plan for what it is you want, the better off you're going to be. And it's the most important thing in the world. People will spend more time planning a vacation than they will spend planning their retirement. And we've got to really place the priority on the retirement and understand what's happening, that people are living longer. People are more likely to need long-term care or some assisted living housing option. People aren't going to be able to rely on pensions or a lot of Social Security or Medicare, Medicaid to provide some of the things that they want to have in their retirement. So I can't emphasize enough, and it's why I just love speaking with you, Barbara, and I love your books, because they are all about preparedness. So in your book, you talked about, you know, when you went through this process with your own parents, you put together a checklist of several items you typed it up, you edited it, you got input, and then you laminated it, and you gave it to your children. And if you could maybe share with us what you said to your kids and some of the things you put on the list.
That's very helpful that you read through all that. So I had several different lists. One was a list where I had, in the middle of taking care of my parents, listed all the things I wasn't going to do. Like, I was with great joyfulness going to hand over my car keys when my kids said I should stop driving. I was going to get up every day and take a shower. I was going to be nice to everyone and say thank you. I just had this whole long list, and I had it notarized and then laminated and gave it to my kids and said, okay, when I don't do any one of these things, you turn this around and say, yeah, Mom, you promised when you were 60 that, in fact, you were actually going to be just this lovely aging parent. The other, though, list that I put together now is a list that you and I have been discussing in terms of the medical information, copies of important cards, both the front and the back of those, all the other things that you need to give family members, from duplicate house keys to, as you know, listing of assets and liabilities, accounts for all the different brokerage and trustees, phone numbers for your parents within their community and who you would call if you need some help, copies of all the birth and marriage certificates, military, funeral arrangements. I mean, all those things, along with all the medical and financial, really is a long list. But if you can take that list and just help your parents check off all of them, and you had better be doing the same thing. Those of us that have taken care of our parents say this is what we want to do for our kids. We want to do it better. We don't want to have the same problem put on our kids. So that means we better darn well be getting our stuff in gear too.
Well, that's a really good point. I've spent so much time, taking care of my son, raising him, and then helping my parents as they needed, along with my sisters. I really don't want my son to end up in the same spot. I want him to be able to want to see me, enjoy the time. And not that I don't love spending time with my parents, but sometimes when you're going through those really hard things with their health or, changing their living situation or helping them make really hard decisions, it's not such a joy. And I want my son to really look forward to the time he spends with me. And so, Barbara, you're going to think this is funny, but when my son was 8 years old, I put an investment in place for him. And I showed him the statement. Every time we got a statement, I showed him to him. And I said, now, honey, this is to put Mommy in the nice nursing home. He would look at me like, what are you talking about? But I was trying to prepare him from an early age to understand that I was trying to put things in place to protect him and to protect me. And I love that you're putting these checklists together. Some of the things that you also talk about in your books, Barbara, about things that we need to be thinking about is assessing what our parents' needs are and helping them with the downsizing piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you could maybe speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. As you were talking about the things we didn't want our kids to have to do for us, I remember one day diapering my dad and then turning around and diapering my grandchild. And they're not the same. And the other problem, I think, that people that are still in the workplace trying to keep all this happening is that workplaces aren't really conducive to hearing somebody talk about diapering dad. The grandkids or your own kids, that's kind of fun around the water cooler. But you really don't want your employer or even your office mate to know that, in fact, you're leaving because you've got to take Mom to the doctor, or you stayed up all night because your dad has Alzheimer's and he was sundowning. So the workplace isn't necessarily a great place for talking about some of these things. And yet the workplace ought to be the one place where you can go and say, I need help. More HR departments are starting to do that, but they're really tough places. So just beware of what you talk about. another aside that I'd like to just throw in here, Kim, is you were talking about getting things in place through companies and losing pensions and other kinds of things, is the new statistic is that by the year 2025, I think, 50% of the people in the United States will be self-employed. So I think that adds a whole new perspective as to how you have got to have a plan in place, because you're not necessarily going to get some of the things you do through HR departments now. You really have to have your own agenda. You have to have your own professionals on board. You have to figure out what it is that you're going to be doing. And I got really off track there, didn't I, Kim? I think your question was
Not at all.
I just keep writing things down as we're talking. I'm thinking, oh, I want to drop this in. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, that is really interesting that such a large percentage of the workforce will be self-employed by 2025.
Mm-hmm. I think that adds a whole new level of preparedness.
Well, I'm really glad that HR departments are stepping up their efforts to help people take care of their families. But we do need a lot more resources helping people who may not have HR department to go to, or an HR department that hasn't added that kind of information or benefit yet. But one of the things that I talk about a lot, and you and I have discussed this before, Barbara, is about women and the really important role that women take in managing finances and in taking care of families. And most of the caregiving that I found in my research, and I think you found the same thing, is that it falls on the daughters or the wives or the sisters to help take care of whatever family member needs care. And because of that, she ends up having to take time off of work. She may even have to take a pause in her career in order to help that family member. And if she does do that, she ends up not getting the promotion, not getting the raise. And a lot of women don't even vest in full retirement benefits if they're offered at their company because they're not working a full-time schedule. So what are you finding with, you know, what the caregiving community looks like?
Well, to add to your synopsis there in terms of all the different benefits that she loses, I think most people think that a good daughter will quit her job and go take care of mom and dad. But as you were talking, you're losing not only salary, but other benefits. You're losing Social Security. You're losing the accruement of monies. And it is not necessarily the best decision. Sometimes the best decision might be, and even cheaper, to actually hire in some help to take care of mom and dad so you can keep your job. It has a very risky payout that you have to have really thought it through. You can't just lead from the heart in some ways, because your own retirement is being put at risk. And so figuring out the different places that you can go to get help besides your HR department. Area aging are very good. Call the area and aging wherever your parents live, and maybe even the one where you live, so you can get ideas about different kinds of programs to put into place. I think we're deciding that having the federal government be our retirement plan probably isn't the best plan to have in place. Some states, though, now are actually stepping up to the bat. So check what your state and your parents' community have. In Ohio, it happens to be called PACE, P-A-C-E, and it's to help people stay in their homes and fund it somewhat through government. But again, you have to be at a certain income to be able to make that happen. So do research what is available. If your dad was in the service, if your mom was a teacher, go back and look at what those benefits are. Don't overlook all those other places that you might be able to get some help.
For those parents who do need to maybe move to another location who aren't able to age in place, and I'm glad to hear that there are a lot of resources that you can reach out to that may or may not be able to help in your situation. But what are some of the things that you have to keep in mind when you are looking at housing options and making that move for your parents from the home they've, you know, lived in most of their adult life or most of their retirement into a retirement community or some other senior living community?
That's why if you've already gotten together all the documents and all the assets and all, you know, how everything is titled and how everything is situated. And for most of us, we really need a professional to help us get all those bits and pieces in place and also decide what monies do you take out first? What's the tax ramification? So this is not an easy strategy to put into place. You need help from other professionals. But every time you take the time to figure out what mom and dad have and what you and your siblings might have available to help supplement them, then you can go into a situation and know what your monetary basis is. And some of these places, you have an endowment that you might put up front, and then you know that the monthly fees are going to be the same across the board no matter what happens to mom and dad. So that's one financial way of looking at it. Another one is to maybe keep them in your house. Think about that a long time before you do it. And again, you need to kind of pull up a contract. Maybe you even need to get paid for it. If you use more than 50%, if you're helping with more than 50% of their costs, you can start to write those off. So look into all the government ramifications, and that changes depending upon state and depends upon which year you're looking at. But make certain you figure it out, those kinds of things, to get some payback to you as you're taking care of mom and dad. It's truly a complicated question that you've asked, which is, you better start now looking at what are the costs. What are the costs in their locale? What's the cost in your locale? Maybe that makes a decision. Whatever you do, you have to research, go out, look, figure out what the basis is, and then figure out just what monies are truly available for the long term.
Absolutely, Barbara. And I like that. And, you know, what you just talked about, you talked about the impact on the caregiver, and that the caregiver should look at maybe being compensated in some way so the caregiver isn't, you know, derailing their retirement or their financial position by providing the care. What are some of the other things that impacts or effects that caregivers go through? Because it's, for a lot of it, it's a thankless job, and it's an incredibly rewarding position, but it's an incredibly hard one.
Definitely, and particularly if you feel that you're not being supported or that the siblings aren't all pitching in at the same level. I ask my audiences often to raise their hands if they're only children, and, you know, a smattering our only children, they raise their hands, and they said, you're sitting there thinking, boy, if I only had siblings to help me out. And those people sitting next to you who have siblings are saying, boy, if I just didn't have all these siblings, life would be so much easier. So I don't know what's better or worse, only children or siblings, but definitely we have to support that caregiver, support them with respite care, support them by sending them out for dinner, hiring a cleaning lady to take care of their home. And particularly when you call to ask how mom and dad are doing, your first question ought to be, how are you doing? That person is the linchpin of keeping everything in the air, and you should be thanking them all the time. You should be supporting them all the time. You should be giving them time off and telling them truly that you appreciate what they're doing and that you can see what they're doing.
It can be emotionally draining to, and I know you talked about this in your first book, you're taking care of your kids, you're taking care of your parents, you're also trying to work and do all of the things that comes with taking care of a family. It's exhausting. I mean, just raising children is exhausting. But when you add all of the other stuff on top of it, it is almost impossible. So having that support, knowing where the resources are, you know, knowing that this is, you know, for the good of your family, all of that is incredibly helpful. And if you take away the financial burden to this kind of situation, it can relieve a lot of stress as well. If your parents have put long-term care insurance, or they receive a pension, or they have another benefit from, you know, being a veteran or a teacher and another position that provided that kind of continuing benefit.
But, you know, Kim, if you don't know about those things, and lots of kids really don't know what their adult parents have, particularly the generation right before us, keeps everything kind of close to the chest, or they think if you're talking about finances, you're trying to get their money. And so sometimes those finance questions are really difficult to get the answers. Sometimes you end up with like a dad, like my dad, that was sending money off, and scams are becoming so prevalent to keep our parents safe on the internet or phones or their credit cards. We have to be watchful all the time. We almost need to quietly pull out the desk drawer and look at the checkbook and see who they've been writing checks to, or if it's even been balanced in the last 6 months. So asking those questions isn't truly an invasion of privacy. It's trying to keep them safe. But you have to have those discussions so you know that dad isn't playing gambling online, or, like I said, sending money off to foreign countries. We as adult children need to be very protective of our parents.
Well, there are a lot of state and federal agencies that put out regular alerts and bulletins about scams out there that target older people. It's horrible what some people are doing, and our parents, our grandparents fall prey to things like that. So we do have to be vigilant, and I'm so sorry you went through that with your dad. I know how it is when you have to have those financial discussions with your parents, and it's incredibly uncomfortable, but in the long run, it will relieve a lot of stress on them and you can help protect them, mm-hmm. which is the most important thing.
Definitely, definitely.
So in your books and in your speeches, Barbara, and in your blogs and on your website, you talk about, or you ask the question, are you ready? Mm-hmm. And since you and I have been preparing for this podcast, I've been asking that question myself. For the listeners who are with us right now, what would you say to them? What are sort of the top 5 to 10 things that they need to make sure they've got in place? And we've covered a lot of them throughout our conversation, but the things they need to make sure are done so that when they're asked, are you ready, they can answer the question yes.
I think we've hopefully made the point that you better have the medical and financial documents signed, notarized, that you have copies of them, that your parents have copies, that the doctor has copies, the financial planner, that everybody has copies of all those documents. A list of assets, you know, I had no idea what all my parents had. So all those kinds of things that are just kind of factual to get in place. But you also need the other part, the family part. I suggest having a family meeting where you all sit down and kind of discuss, how do we see this playing out? How are we going to help each other? Mom and Dad, what do you foresee? We're here to help you stay independent as long as you can, but we also want to be here to keep you safe. And out of love and safety, these are some things we're going to need to put into place. So I think that the things are not only those pieces of paper, but the things that a family can give to each other to be supportive and have a peaceful resolution instead of having some kind of horrible conflict. And I really do feel that you just need to inform yourself, just like when you had a baby. What are the housing options? What are the financial options? What can we do to go look at these things or get educated about Medicare? So when a crisis hits, we already can hit the pavement running. We're not like gasping, going, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. And now mom's in the hospital and we've never talked about what any of the family wants or what she wants.
Barbara, it has been wonderful talking with you today. Thank you so much for sharing all of this great information with us and our listeners. If someone wants to get more information and possibly look for your books, can you give us your website address?
Yes, it's my name, Barbara, and I don't spell it like, I spell it like ordinary people do, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, and then my last name, no space, no point, nothing, McVicker, capital M-C, capital V as in victory, I-C-K-E-R, at BarbaraMcVicker.com. Or just go to BarbaraMcVicker.com and you don't even have to go through anything else. And on there are not only lots of blogs and videos, also all of my products and books, and hopefully lots of information that can be helpful.
Well, you've been very helpful to us today, Barbara. I have loved this conversation, and I hope everyone has too. I hope everyone's gotten a lot of information, and we're all going to not procrastinate, and we're going to do the things that we need to do so we can say, yes, we are ready, and our children aren't going to have to make these difficult decisions on the spur of the moment. Well, Barbara, again, thank you very much.
It was a pleasure, Kim. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Leadership Now, the official podcast of WealthWave. If you like our show and you want to know more, check out wealthwave.com/podcast, or you can leave us a review on iTunes. Join us each week as we talk about the topics you'll need to help you grow as an entrepreneur and succeed in the financial business with WealthWave.